Prepare yourself for invasion. This is Indie Invasion. Long before the streets of Skullport rang with the voices of a thousand beings, before the coming of the slavers and smugglers, and even before the coming of Hylaether, later known as Halaster, there lived an ancient clan of dwarves, calling themselves the Milerkin. Like others of their kind, they carved their halls and homes from the rock beneath Toril's surface. In their case, from the rock in and around the caves deep under the mountain that would one day be known as Mount Waterdeep. The Milerkin were traders, artisans, and explorers, deeply aware of their connection to the Underdark and strongly protective of their home, which they named Milerbode. The Milerkin were named after King Miler I, who discovered the precious metal Mithril under the future Mount Waterdeep in 1288. King Miler I sent the news of this discovery out to his kin in the deeper caverns in the Underdark. They arrived in droves, braving drow scouts and Duergar traps to reach the side of their beloved king. Within a year's time, the caverns were transformed. Rooms were cut, waters diverted, and corridors were widened to accommodate the industrious dwarven miners, smiths, and their families. The Milerkin extended the boundaries of their realm to include the topmost levels of what is now known as Undermountain. They slew or drove off Underdark predators and killed Duergar and Drow scouts, though the Duergar persisted for centuries, working what pockets of Mithril they could hold and defend. The Milerkin domain expanded to include most of what is now known as the Underhalls of Undermountain, with one pointed exception. Netherese Outpost. What is now known as the third level of Undermountain had always been sealed against the intrusions of the Milerkin dwarves. An order of powerful mages had taken up residence there in the 8th century, before Dale Reckoning, more than 400 years before the fall of the Empire of Netheril. The wizards built an outpost from which they could conduct their experiments in peace and safety, while also enjoying annual spell moots in the lands above. The name of the outpost is lost to the whims of time, though some scholars refer to it as the Sargoth Enclave, suggesting that the name of the subterranean river must have come from this great settlement and its alleged founder's name. For over a decade, the wizards carefully delved into the nature of the weave and magic, creating something akin to the wonders of the Arcanist Enclaves of Netheril, though altogether unique. What was once a series of rough caverns and waterlogged tunnels became a massive, mile-long and mile-wide city, with the area's subterranean waters rerouted into what is now considered the River Sargoth. While just as committed to magic as all Netherese, unlike other powerful Netherese mages, the people of this enclave embraced gods as well. The temples here were incredible constructs of magic and stone. Where stone columns once supported the cavern ceiling, magic now did so. As the mages of Sargoth Enclave expanded their buildings and their art, To facilitate the rapid transport of their magical creations, as well as to gain access to various supplies, the Netherese magically connected the Sargoth Basin, which would later be known as the Skull Pool, to the South Sea Caves through a series of arcane locks and channels. Until the coming of Halaster, this was the only connection between the Sargoth settlement and the surface. While the Sargoth Enclave was among the more prosperous of the Western Netherese outposts, it too suffered greatly during the demise of the Netherese Empire. In his own enclave, far away, the Netherese Archmage Karsus caused profound, though thankfully temporary, damage to the Weave in a bid to become a god, disrupting its function and all magic on Toril. This disruption destroyed Netheril as an empire, causing the literal fall of its ruling class's Sky City enclaves. In the time leading up to Netheril's fall, the wizards of the Sargoth Enclave were experimenting on and analyzing the mantle magic of the elves, and they had created a great mantle that encompassed their entire enclave that was similar to a mythal, an elven magical field of great strength that was beyond their kin. The city mantle provided lighting and minor magical protection to its citizens, but primarily it replaced many of the magical supports to the cavernous ceiling. In the fall of Netheril in the Year of Sundered Webs, the spell backlash from Karsus's death unleashed powerful magical surges through the subterranean outpost and its mantle. The cavern ceiling, temporarily unsupported by stone or magic, collapsed, burying more than two-thirds of the enclave and leaving the area close in configuration to its current complex of isolated cavern systems that contain mysterious ruins, the current level 3 of the Undermountain. Attendant blasts of magic vaporized much left uncovered by the debris, along with the residing wizards. Disrupted but not destroyed, the twisted mantle magic absorbed the essences of some of the magicians and reasserted itself in a curious fashion by protecting and empowering 13 of its former citizens' skulls, who have become the skulls of the future Skullport. The arcane locks and channels of the South Sea Caves were likewise damaged, but their disruption was more long-lasting. These magical systems lay dormant until they were discovered and reactivated by the Keepers.
Thanks guys for listening to today's tales. You can find our Indie Invasion podcast on all podcast platforms, including Podbean, Google, and iTunes. And please visit us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and if you can, support us on Patreon/Indie Invasion. And feel free to email us with any questions or comments at indieinvasion@gmail.com. And remember, guys, don't forget to prepare yourself for the invasion.